Cadman presents the Dorothy Parker Audio Collection, Stories and Reviews, read in order of appearance by Cynthia Nixon, Christine Baranski, Alfre Woodard, and Shirley Booth.
Big Blonde, read by Cynthia Nixon. Hazel Morse was a large, fair woman of the type that incites some men, when they use the word blonde, to click their tongues and wag their heads roguishly. She prided herself upon her small feet and suffered for her vanity, boxing them in snub-toed, high-heeled slippers of the shortest bearable size. The curious things about her were her hands, strange terminations to the flabby white arms splattered with pale tan spots, long, quivering hands with deep and convex nails. She should not have disfigured them with little jewels. She was not a woman given to recollections. At her middle 30s, her old days were a blurred and flickering sequence, an imperfect film dealing with the actions of strangers. In her 20s, after the deferred death of a hazy widowed mother, she had been employed as a model in a wholesale dress establishment. It was still the day of the big woman, and she was then prettily colored and erect and high-breasted. Her job was not onerous, and she met numbers of men and spent numbers of evenings with them, laughing at their jokes and telling them she loved their neckties. Men liked her, and she took it for granted that the liking of many men was a desirable thing. Popularity seemed to her to be worth all the work that had to be put into its achievement. Men liked you because you were fun. And when they liked you, they took you out, and there you were. So, and successfully, she was fun. She was a good sport. Men liked a good sport. No other form of diversion, simpler or more complicated, drew her attention. She never pondered if she might not be better occupied doing something else. Her ideas, or better, her acceptances, ran right along with those of the other substantially built blondes in whom she found her friends. When she had been working in the dress establishment some years, she met Herbie Morse. He was thin, quick, attractive, with shifting lines about his shiny brown eyes and a habit of fiercely biting at the skin around his fingernails. He drank largely. She found that entertaining. Her habitual greeting to him was an allusion to his state of the previous night. "Oh, what a peach you had," she used to say through her easy laugh. "I thought I'd die, the way you kept asking the waiter to dance with you." She liked him immediately upon their meeting. She was enormously amused at his fast, slurred sentences, his interpolations of apt phrases from vaudeville acts and comic strips. She thrilled at the feel of his lean arm tucked firm beneath the sleeve of her coat. She wanted to touch the wet, flat surface of his hair. He was as promptly drawn to her. They were married 6 weeks after they had met. She was delighted at the idea of being a bride, coquetted with it, played upon it. Other offers of marriage she had had, and not a few of them, but it happened that they were all from stout, serious men who had visited the dress establishment as buyers, men from Des Moines and Houston and Chicago and, in her phrase, even funnier places. There was always something immensely comic to her in the thought of living somewhere else than New York. She could not regard as serious proposals that she share a Western residence. She wanted to be married. She was nearing 30 now, and she did not take the years well. She spread and softened, and her darkening hair turned her to inexpert dabblings with peroxide. There were times when she had little flashes of fear about her job, and she had had a couple of thousand evenings of being a good sport among her male acquaintances. She had come to be more conscientious than spontaneous about it. Herbie earned enough, and they took a little apartment far uptown. There was a mission-furnished dining room with a hanging central light globed in liver-colored glass. In the living room were an overstuffed suite, a Boston fern, and a reproduction of the Henner Magdalene with the red hair and the blue draperies. The bedroom was in gray enamel and old rose, with Herbie's photograph on Hazel's dressing table and Hazel's likeness on Herbie's
Sample complete. Ready to continue?